have a very sad case of cop on cop violence, guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this Rensselaer County or?
This is in the White House.
Oh, no.
This is
at the heart of empire.
So Commander the dog, the Biden family dog, has bitten at least 24 separate incidents has bitten Secret Service personnel.
Critical support.
As a German Shepherd, we all know Commander is a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. Nazi dog and a Nazi dog. What are you going to do?
It's sad. You hate to see it.
But it is funny, though, that like it got to 24. Like, can you imagine, like, Biden being like, hey, Commander, you're biting too much. You bit 17 people. You know, you only got 8 left. you bit that 25th person. You're gone.
I'm going to call corn pop on you. That's not including other incidents previously reported in which he bit executive residence staff and other White House workers.
Okay, that.
So these are new documents obtained via a Freedom of Information Act request.
Don't bite like the chef or something.
No.
Yeah, you can bite the Secret Service, yeah. But you gotta be respectful of the staff.
I mean, he's obviously badly trained. I wonder if it's just that, or if it's also like moments where like the Secret Service have to like jump in front of something because like
No, it's not. Is Secret Service agents like holding the door open for the president.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Stuff.
Very cool.
I'll post the CNN article in the show notes so you can read it, but it really is like very like they were not doing anything.
Right,
they were standing there.
And I seem to remember a story that we covered where the dogs like were relegated to like his Delaware house.
They have
something.
As of the fall of last year, they were sent away from they were evicted from the White House.
So they still are biting them.
No, the all of the bite incidents took place before he left the White House.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that's what's up in the world of coppery. No cop stories today.
Good.
Well, kind of. We have like maybe half a cop story.
We have the people who watch the Watchers.
We do have. We actually have two cop stories.
We have two cop stories.
God damn it!
All right.
We tried.
All right.
You want to talk about one of them?
Yeah, let's get them out of the way.
Okay, you want to get them out of the way?
Yeah.
So the first one is just like, I'm going to try to get through this one without being overly emotional, but it is not easy because this is a really fucked up story. A trans student in Oklahoma named Nex Benedict is now dead after a fight at their school. They were being bullied by other students for months, and their mother, Sue Benedict, had gone to the school. The school wasn't doing anything about it. And then on February 7th, Nex was violently assaulted, suffering severe head injuries, and the next day died. And the coroner's office has reported, and the police are saying that the death was not a result of the injuries, but it's very hard to imagine a teenager dropping dead the day after severe head injuries and it not being a result of the head injuries.
Did the coroner give a cause of death?
No.
No, they're waiting on a toxicology report coming back, which somehow takes weeks.
I don't understand
that. For
that, at
for
all.
Some reason? Yeah, it takes a long time.
Walgreens can do it in like a day and a half.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Tell all of my previous employers that. You know? It takes that long to do a toxicology report. No, it sounds like bullshit. And there's also like several of the press releases that the police department put out are like literally copy and paste jobs from the school. Which the police department has said, like, well, we're just telling everyone that we have confirmed what the police department, what the school board has said. So yeah. That's us confirming those facts by repeating them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a fascinating way to do that. But what's really sad, beyond like the obvious stuff, clearly, is that Nex had a really supportive family.
Yeah.
And, they actually live with their grandmother That was and with like five siblings, I think, four or five other siblings. And like the grandfather had this like such a touching little thing. It was like, well, you know, it was like very, you know, if everyone was the same, the world would be really boring. Yeah. And they're like, and they were like learning. They said that they made a bunch of mistakes, but that like they were all learning together. And it just, you know, shows that like it, you can be really like the family unit can be really supportive, but like, I don't know, we live in a society supposedly. And if like the school isn't doing fucking anything, then, you know, this is going to happen. And also like, you know, the girls that beat them up, in the girls' bathroom, like, could potentially be charged with murder now. Yeah. Which is, you know, not to center them, but like now, like their lives are ruined.
They've ruined their lives.
They've ruined their lives in a large part because like they've digested this culture of, you know, beating up on gender nonconforming people for no fucking reason, you know? Like, this is just such a waste of young human life that goes nowhere, you know, right? So like Chaya, what the fuck is her name? The lives of TikTok lady can just like
Chaya Raycheck, we'll talk a little bit about her.
Can like, you know, get another like school board seat or something, you know, like build her power base and get another interview or whatever. You know, like that's all this is for, and it's like it's fucking gross.
Yeah. Deaths like this are the downstream effect of a war on trans children and trans people in general. And it's really despicable. And to see people, you know, taking up the banner of anti-trans in a, you know, environment where the murder rate is so disproportionately high and the suicide rate is so disproportionately high. And like, it's just, it obviously like punching down. But just like also just incredibly cruel. And like the question is like, okay, so what is the even hypothetical upshot of all of this, you know, cultural effort that is put forth to demonizing and, you know, stigmatizing and pathologizing people who are trans? It's just, it's disgusting and really horrifying.
And I bring up Chaya because she does have a direct link to this. So, Nex's a teacher that they really identified with was
very encouraging.
Was featured on Libs of TikTok and subsequently left their job because of it.
Yeah, the teacher said, if your parents don't understand you, fuck them.
Yeah, and that was caught on camera.
Yeah, the teacher resigned.
And like that was
that's enough to make a teacher resign.
Fuck yeah, it is in Oklahoma.
If it's Libs in Oklahoma from Libs of TikTok,
yeah, you get like bomb threats for like a month after that.
Yeah.
How different is that than Will Smith's parents just don't understand? I mean, it's a matter of degree, right?
Right. Yeah, for real.
Sure.
That dude can fucking smack Chris Rock on live TV and not go to jail.
That was like literally a lifeline for them.
So Raycheck just did I don't know how to say their name. I don't know how to say her name.
Yeah.
Fuck them. Just did an interview with Taylor Lorenz in which she sounds Taylor Lorenz. She's a culture writer. And she just sounds so fucking stupid. Like Taylor asks her, you know, what is the material harm of people living their lives as transgender people? Like, how does that harm anyone? And Raycheck just says, like, well, I like the truth. And Taylor's like, okay, well, so, you know, you have your truth and they have their truth. But, like, what is the material harm of allowing them to live their truth? And she can't say anything. She can't say she's getting these softball fucking questions from Taylor Lorenz, and she cannot articulate a comprehensible or compelling thought at all. And so it just really goes to show like what a waste all of this is and how fucking sad it is, because they have no philosophical undergirding to any of it that is like beyond just hate, just hatefulness.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah. Just like the actual like wanton, the actual want for death of trans kids.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be the only thing that is being sought other than clicks.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's if this is better or worse, but it almost seems like the positive desire for attention is the biggest driver rather than like who it hurts. He's like, I don't even know if this lady, like Chaya, like even gives a shit who she hurts. It could just as well be Muslims or immigrants or fucking anybody. Right?
She's out here like Commander, just biting.
Yeah.
She does it because she found a lane in conservative media. She's getting attention and power from it.
And money.
And a ton of money.
Thanks, TikTok.
Yeah. And so it's like, so she doesn't need, like, why would she come up with any more coherent narrative? Because if she did, then she would just be pigeonholing herself into, like, into something, right? So it's like, just keep piling on the hatred of trans people, and, like, that's as far as you need to go to achieve what she ultimately wants to achieve, which is just, like, fame and power.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, this is a New York real estate agent that just, like, did this on a lark and became very powerful and rich from it. And I think it's just as important to not understand things as it is to understand things in this process of, like, gaining power is, like, you know, carving out your ignorance is really important here. And just so that you don't, like, end up, like, parroting a line that could reduce your audience, right?
Yeah.
So it's good for her that she just, like, says fucking whatever, because the people that are watching this Taylor Lorenz video, which I do want to talk about more, is like both sides, you know, like, to quote Taylor, right? You know, they each have their truth, and the people who really like libs of TikTok have a truth where Che is owning Taylor in that video. Like, they think that she's winning.
Sure.
That video. And that's it. I don't know. It's like, for Chaya, this is how you answer that question, because the whole fucking point is to just be an ignorant asshole.
Also, isn't debating a fascist, like, basically validating fascism?
I mean, so we got an interesting email from a listener about this question of, like, the value of this kind of media event, giving a platform to a fascist. The argument was basically like, you don't talk to fascists, you shoot them, you know, not actionable. That's not what we're advocating for at all. But, you know, that is
in an academic metaphorical sense.
Just philosophically. yeah. Metaphorically.
Right. It's like a trolley problem, you know.
Yeah.
Do you film them or do you shoot them? Right. You know, like, what kind of shooting are you going to do to them?
Right.
You know, camera shooting or gun shooting. Right. Like, that's.
And we don't advocate for any...
either of them, really.
Yeah.
Just leave those fuckers alone.
I mean, and it's interesting for me, coming from the perspective of somebody who researches and writes about and makes a podcast about, like, right-wing movements and figures.
New season Reaction coming soon.
Well, I'm going to make that announcement, yeah, very soon. And, you know, for me, it's always just been an interest. And when I think about the effect of it and the purpose of it, like, I have a really hard time articulating it. I think that there's a lot to learn from the right. I think there's a lot to learn from their successes and their strategies. But there is something to be said for, look, if you see this for its entertainment value, if you enjoy watching, you know, libs of TikTok get owned by Taylor Lorenz and you think it's funny and whatever, I can totally understand that and relate to that. But there is a very important question to ask that is, like, what is the value versus the harm of doing this kind of thing?
Yeah, I forget who exactly originated this quote, but the idea of, like, we can debate about many things, but the second we start debating about, like, my humanity, then, like, that's not a debate. That's a fight.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that is something that if we bring that to the table to analyze and be like, is this person real? Is this, like, is
do they deserve to live?
Yeah. Then
many,
like,
people are asking.
Yeah. Then it's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
like, that is like, yeah. You know, I don't know. it honestly, it just seems like two media people like advancing their careers
yep.
and like giddy about it. And the people who are going to watch are already in a camp that will not be swayed. And it's just like, oh, look at these two people. They're really important. Let's pay more attention to both of them.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the interminable tweet threads about like whether this is platforming or whether like someone should be deplatformed or like who's gaining the high ground in the media info war or whatever in this. And the answer and like people keep coming back to like this idea that, well, normal people, this like imagined other group of like the majority, don't know who Chaya is. And so like they need to be alerted to the fact that this person exists and thinks terrible things and is gaining political power. But I think that misses that, like, normal people also don't know who Taylor is.
Correct.
and therefore, like, the reach of both of these people is, I would imagine, is fairly, like, isometric, right? It's, like, similar on both sides. I don't like using the term both sides in this fight. But it's like, I don't know. It's just, I use the word, and I'll use it again. It just all feels very interminable. Like, yeah. It's all just, like, rote media production to try to, like, own each other while trans kids die. Like, I don't know. I just, I don't, and I, but, like, I know Taylor. She's, I've interviewed her for my book. This is not a plug for my book, but like, you know, like I've met her in person several times. I've talked to her. And like, I think she's a good person, but I also think that she is very much motivated by, her own attention.
Yeah.
And careerism.
Like, sure, like that's like, not an indictment of her personally. Right, that's like, yeah. That is the game.
It's the nature
that's
of the game. The beast,
that's yeah. the game that's yeah. out there. Right
and so,
now,
like, I know that that's what she's doing, but it's like, I don't know, man.
I will say, if you think that there's value in alerting normies to the existence of this person, there are lots of ways to uncover how stupid and hateful her Libs of TikTok's ideology yeah. is without having an interview with her.
Yeah,
there is no need to actually talk to her and put her on camera and blast it all over the internet in order to show that she's stupid and hateful.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary.
Yeah, especially if like the content of the thing is like discussing the humanity or lack of humanity of a marginalized and vulnerable population.
Yeah, her body of work kind of speaks for itself there.
Like, you know, that's just like, that's an argument you don't need to have.
Yeah.
Like, you can just be like, oh, yeah, no, they are absolutely people, and trans people are real, and
like, I'm not
going to talk to you about whether that's true or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which is why, like, I don't think any of us really are making this, like, why did you give Chaya platform? Like, it's not,
no.
I don't think it's, the platform argument. It's just, like, the, like, it's just like what are you doing? Like, I don't know. I think it's just all that. Like, what good does this produce for fucking anybody to talk to this dumbass?
And especially, like, you know, to be like, nice to them, which she is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know.
It's very softball. Which I know that what she's doing is like, look, I just answer like she like I'm getting on record these answers to very basic questions that like you've probably said. That, like, you, dear watcher, you know, audience, have, like said incredulously to your friends over cocktails. Like, has anyone even put these kinds of questions to her? And now Taylor is doing it.
Yes.
And yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, and the answer is, like, yeah, no, I just don't fucking like these people. And, like, yeah, that was the answer. That, of course that was the fucking answer. And it's, like, I think a lot of people just, like, get jollies out of being like, yes, we knew that the cruelty was the point the whole time, you know, like I don't know what this does. Like, I don't know why we're doing this.
Yeah
I feel like the only correct thing to do in public to people like this is like what that masked hero did to Richard Spencer.
Yeah, who by the way, you don't hear about after he did that.
Correct.
True.
So
that guy got decked in the motherfucking mouth while explaining a Pepe meme in public,
yeah.
And has not showed his face in public since.
Yeah, notice how that worked. Like, if you want these people to go away, look at all of the bad actors that have gone away so far.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Look at how they were treated, and do that.
Yeah.
So, the Attorney General Letitia James is at it again. Just released a report saying that Saratoga Springs police unconstitutionally retaliated against Black Lives Matter protesters. Demonstrators were arrested on false, unsupported evidence.
Correct.
Yes. This is a scathing report.
Yeah.
It is really intense. David was reading me portions of it earlier, and it is, it does not pull punches.
No, it, and it, you can almost get like a little sense of I don't know if this is editorializing on the part of the AG, like in writing the report, that it's like, can you fucking believe these people? Like, you get that kind of tone in it. But it might also just be like how blatant these people were.
I think it's a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both, right? It's like, it's hard to be, to write in a dispassionate way about people who are like saying like, I want those fuckers in jail, you know, like,
I
want to
kick that motherfucker in the teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess like the background here is that in 2021, there were several very, active and prominent BLM, organizers in Saratoga Springs, New York, who were, you know, doing the, I would say the usual fanfare, right? You know, blocking intersections.
Nothing particularly egregious from a protesting perspective.
It was pretty anodyne stuff, right? You know, you get on a bullhorn in an intersection, you block some traffic, the police redirect that traffic so no one even sees you in the first place.
Whomst amongst us?
Yeah.
I mean, it's important work. There's nothing.
Right. Yeah. But it's like, it's.
They weren't assassinating people.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was like really pretty straightforward stuff to the point that, you know, the AG report notes in its section on factual findings that the. And this is a crazy thing to say, the Saratoga Springs Police Department was keeping by the book and actually being one of the more like reasonable actors in this case. Ultimately they do what they did and it's their, and like, you know, fuck them. But like, they're actually the ones pushing back against elected leaders to be like, no, we kind of have a process for this. Like, we can't just immediately arrest people for their First Amendment.
Right? For you not liking them.
Yeah, yeah. There was a mandatory training in March 2021 for the Saratoga Springs Police Department, in which they outlined this 4-tier escalation system for a protest, where, like, you know, in the first tier, if they're causing a public safety hazard, there's like, they have to, officers have to personally engage who they believe to be the leader of the protest to say like, hey, could you move? Or like, is there some, can you stop doing this one particular thing?
Yeah, you're blocking the sidewalk.
Yeah. Or if there's like one particular thing that they think is a danger to the public, like they can ask. And then like, and it just kind of goes up from there all the way up to like, being on a bullhorn saying like, you will be arrested if you keep doing this one thing. And they have to do that 3 times. It's very specific. Mm-hmm. Where like their order of operations are like, they say it 3 times over a bullhorn in 5-minute intervals. And after the third warning and 5 minutes past that, then they go in and start arresting people. That's the process, which it looks like takes like, the whole thing from tier 1 to 4 could take like an hour, right?
Mm.
Commissioner of Public Safety, Robin Dalton, was having none of that because it appears it was making her look bad to her libertarian friends. that is, I swear to fucking God, what this is.
Well, she originally said, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
When the police were hassling her give them a wider berth on arresting these people, originally she said, you know, we got to cool it.
Yeah, well, she would say that in public, right?
Right.
She would say, like, there's a process, we got to do that. But, like, in fucking text messages, again, do not put this shit in writing. If you...
you're an idiot if you text these people. Then they wipe the phone as if like that's going to make any difference.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
This is literally like the libertarians are doing the thing from the Simpsons sketch based on Schoolhouse Rock, where they're like,
those flag-burning hippies, they got way too much freedom. Yeah, right. I want to make it legal for policemen to beat them.
It's half that and half the other Simpsons meme, which is like the teenagers like filming our crimes is the best idea we ever had. You know, like, it's a little bit of both, right? This also highlights Saratoga Springs' absolutely insane division of power in their municipal government.
Yeah.
They have this, there's a mayor, but they also have this commission style of government where there are five co-equal elected leaders that control exclusively different parts of the government.
Okay. Interesting.
And so, Robin Dalton is the elected commissioner of public safety. And of course, and this is, I'm reading from the AG report, with exclusive authority over the SSPD. Under Saratoga Springs commission form of government, Dalton was one of five co-equal elected officials, and the Saratoga Springs charter gave Dalton the exclusive power to hire, fire, and discipline police officers. Under the charter, Dalton's policies, rules, regulations, and orders superseded those of the police chief.
Wow.
What is that?
That is very weird.
Yeah. So, in March of 2021, Dalton was talking about all the pent-up anger that the officers had at protesters, and that she anticipated some kind of clash, and that there was, like, bloodlust. She warned the co-chair of the Saratoga Springs Police Reform Task Force that SSPD officers had bloodlust to arrest protesters, and claimed that she wanted to, quote, avoid a protest that ends with police arrests. But, and then this is where I mean, it's hard to tell if there's like editorializing or if this is just like they're just outlining facts here. But 2 weeks later, Dalton texted a very different message to Rob Arrigo, a Libertarian Party head and BLM opponent. She told Arrigo that when the police chief asked her how to handle protesters at an upcoming rally, quote, I told him to arrest the fucks. And then there is like a screenshot of the email where it's just like, chief just asked me how to handle protesters on Saturday. Reply, I told him to arrest the fucks. Like, that is literally the entire email.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
So you could say that they are a pent-umvirate.
Nice.
Nice.
Wow.
I was trying to figure out what it's quintumvirate. I was trying to figure out what they would be called.
With the mayor? Yeah, maybe. But
no, quint.
Pent-umvirate, I believe, would be like a triumvirate for five.
Yeah, right? Okay, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But then if you throw like the... A hexumvirate with the mayor on top? I don't know.
Pentuverate is, I think, the episode title.
Just, like, right, yeah, okay. Save me a lot of work for later.
Yeah. And I don't know. The whole thing is just the police department saying, like, we have a system for this. And Dalton and these other elected leaders being like, no, blood. Take them now. There's another part in this where in the factual early in the factual finding sections where they say that they're describing this clash in July of 2020 between a pro police group called Back the Blue and BLM did a counter protest, and after the police group left the downtown, BLM protesters occupied Broadway and in Saratoga, and officers from various agencies fired pepper balls, shoved, tackled, and forcibly dispersed protesters. Police arrested three people, including a 16-year-old girl, for minor nonviolent offenses. And this was also while they responded with horse-mounted police, riot gear, and, again, quoting the AG article or report, an armored vehicle designed for combat in Iraq.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Sounds like standard operating procedure to me.
Right? Yeah.
Could we just point out that some of the names in this are really funny? Like, it was former police chief Shane Crooks.
Yeah, right? Like, come on.
And then there was another police officer whose last name was... Let me find it really quick.
Porky Pig.
Sergeant Timothy Sicko.
Man.
You can't make that shit up.
Yeah. Well, you also had... Like, you had... I think it was a police chief or someone in the police department, like, getting on microphone saying, like, I am going to use the resources of all of the connections my family has made over the last 130 years yeah. to counter your narrative.
Yeah.
Which was, like, just saying the quiet part loud in specifically, like, I don't know, like deep yeah,
we've
cut.
Been
we've
been rocking this shit since the Patroon.
Yeah. Where it's like, I the part that it isn't outwardly said is that, like, these police departments and the governments that control it, like, these are very old families that, like, run municipal government like a mob. Like, they're, like, that. You're not supposed to say that, you know? but like, he's just kind of saying it. That it's yeah. like, we use literally familial connections, like families,
yeah.
to suppress political speech.
I mean, like, in so many ways, it's so fucking old school. I mean, like, the entire, like, city of Saratoga, like, operates from a base economy of horse racing.
Right? Like, that like is fucking the Roman shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Horse racing bolstered by, like, immigrant labor. Yeah. Right? Is that, like, during horse racing season, this fucking town just, like doubles in population. And it's, like, people, like, rich fucks that have one of their many nice houses there. And all of their servants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In attendance. Like, just, it's just absolutely remarkable how because of course, like, that kind of economy is managed by a couple of families that have been there for 130 years. Like, and that's what that looks like.
Also requires a police force that is ready to smash any kind of public embarrassing incident, because, you know, they rely on tourism.
Right.
And, you know, having tourists show up to your city and seeing a bunch of, you know, angry people protesting is not ideal, obviously.
But you know what is ideal? Is if a bunch of heads are cracked, it makes the national news. That'd be great. Or that'd be great for tourism.
Well, they probably didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
Or if an MRAP is, like, in the middle of your downtown, like, running over 16-year-old girls, you know, and there's, like, nothing to see here, folks. I hope those, what those ponies do, you know?
Yeah, think about the poor ponies. I mean, like, they're service workers, too. They got to show up and race the next day, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they got to carry some fat fucking cop with, like, 1,000 pounds of, like, ballistic gear, and then perform like a champ the following day at the track.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's the way that works.
All while being named something like, you know,
Chips Ahoy.
Yeah. Cappuccino's Promise. Like, what? Fucking what? Like,
I do want to shout out the service workers of Saratoga, though, because every time Zabi Giuliani is booked at Desperate Annie's, it's on a Monday night, and it's like the service night, like, nice. Everybody goes out, and you guys fucking rock. Like, it's a totally packed house every Monday night, and the crowd is amazing. So, thank you for your service.
Behind every, like, godforsaken, shitty tourist town is an absolute army of dedicated service workers who hate everyone that they have to work for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't God hate each other. No. And no, you I have appreciate to stick that. Together.
And I don't know, elect one of yourselves to these, like, autonomous commissioner offices. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Should we give an update on this train derailment?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So we talked about this recently. Train derailed and several of its, two, I believe, of its train cars fell into the Hoosick River.
Thank you, CSX.
Yep. And now there are millions, probably, of tiny plastic beads called nurdles.
Beads?
Not sorry. Beads.
But, nurdles sounds delicious.
It sounds so cute. Yeah, I think it sounds like a little blob that's, you know, like, very friendly.
So is this like microplastics, like, branding glow up? This is the aioli to its microplastic.
Yeah.
Nurdles.
Nurdles.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, how can you get mad at something called a nerdle?
Yeah.
Or worse yet, like, you, no one, no self-respecting American is going to say that they were bested by and got cancer from a something called a nerdle.
No, you it's know? True.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next 30 years is just going to be like, the every time you turn on the news, it's going to be like, nerdle alert, nerdle alert.
So these are half centimeter pieces of plastic that
That's
are
huge.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they are at the exact upper end of what can be considered a microplastic.
What?
Actually.
Five millimeter?
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's like an airsoft BB.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's your fault.
Yeah, you're shooting microplastic.
Once again, Chris needs to take responsibility.
For all of the world's problems. You literally shoot microplastics into teenagers.
Yeah, no lies detected. I'm going to think about that.
So these little nurdles are turning up everywhere along the waterway. Folks saw them. There's one couple who saw them running behind their house. These are folks who live in Scaticoke. And they used a pool net to try to collect as many as they can. But that's like trying to grasp grains of sand, you know, falling. It's just not, you just can't.
Yeah.
And the other train car was holding rapeseed oil, which apparently was cleaned up pretty quickly.
Sorry, canola.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. that was cleaned up pretty quickly, but the nurdles, they're having a significantly more difficult time actually cleaning up.
Especially since they're all lubed up. Looped up nurdles in the river.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
It's on brand for this region. Like, we don't have like a like spectacular, terrifying, world-ending explosion like what happened in East Palestine, Ohio, right? We don't have that. We have like the goofiest. We have lubed up nurdles in our riverbanks. That's what happens here. It will kill you. But it's called a lubed up nurdle.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to kill you, though. It'll take a while.
It'll take a long time.
I think that should be the episode title.
Yeah, lubed up nurdle. Yeah. That's really good. yeah. Wow. I mean, I never really looked into the sizing of microplastics. The idea that a 5 millimeter piece of plastic is considered a microplastic is like crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like that is a chunk of
plastic. So these are used to manufacture other plastic products, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have a use in and of themselves. They are sent off to make plastic bottles and
bags.
They get melted down into whatever form you use to then like put to your lips and like, you know, use and give to your children and stuff.
And you know, like plastic is functionally not really recyclable, like
as we covered last episode. Yeah,
But like,
no, we didn't end up doing that story.
Oh,
but,
we didn't.
But maybe we'll do it in the future.
We will. Yeah, I've seen that now all over the place, which is interesting. It's like we all fucking knew this. Why stop acting like we? This is a surprise.
Well, the point of the report was that the plastics industry
knew it
and very deliberately developed a marketing campaign to convince the public that recyclables, which is also something that we've known for a while, but this was basically just a report with documents showing, like, you know,
Pikachu face.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and like to the degree that plastics are recyclable, like you need to know exactly what the plastic is, and you know, like dyes and stuff, which are in almost all of them, can like render, you know, that process unrecyclable. So like I'm trying to think, like if you wanted to throw just money and tech solution at cleaning up these lubed up nurdles, like you probably could, but it would be extremely difficult, as we pointed out here. Like you'd need, you know, extremely fine filters to get all the nurdles like out of the water and out of like the dirt and mud mixtures and everything that they've like settled into. Then you gotta get the oil off.
Yeah.
You gotta get them like, and yeah, to turn that around to produce more nurdles is like not economically viable. Like, you couldn't pay somebody to go out and clean all of that and make a profit, like remelting down even this like perfectly designed like geometry and type of plastic to be melted down and turned into stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like the, yeah.
But you imagine, like, because it's like a commodity, that when everything goes right, the melting down into a final usable product is like has like a razor thin margin in the first place,
yeah,
right? So like
correct, yeah.
So picking it up and cleaning it and then reusing it, no one can make a profit from like you know, cleaning up this mistake.
Which is to say, like, it should be done.
Yeah.
Like, they should be out there with fucking, like, pool skimmers and, like, you know, making this fucking thing happen.
Right. But it They are.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they are. There is a cleanup effort, but the problem is they are embedded in riverbanks. They are, it's not like they're just flowing down the river and you can, like, put a big pool.
No, like, ducks have eaten, like, a kiloton of them.
Yeah, everything is eating them. They're embedded in the sand along the riverbank. Like, they're showing up in people's backyards. There's no cleanup effort that can actually remove all of these nurdles.
Yeah.
Thanks, CSX.
Yep.
Thank you, Buttigieg.
Yeah.
I look forward to your presidency.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those cases of, like, Buttigieg was pointing to. It's like, look, this happens all the time and no one gives a shit.
No big deal.
Yeah. And it was like, this is just one of those times where, like, you know, it made the local news for a couple days and now it's over. Like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, in 2 months, there will be a one-off story where, like, we found 1,000 dead ducks. And no one knows why. Right? And then, like, that's just going to happen. And everyone's like, what happened? And they're like, never going to connect the lubed up nurdles to the duck genocide. Like, that's fucking.
Speaking of genocide, you guys want to talk about this UN convoy was fired upon by the Israeli Navy?
Yeah.
I feel like we ought to.
Yeah.
This is a problem that happens a lot, actually. It's humanitarian efforts in Gaza being fired upon by the Israeli military.
Funny that.
Yeah.
That this is the most moral army in the world, right?
You know, not only did they fire on this convoy, but then they ultimately ended up blocking the trucks from getting into Gaza.
Yeah. And these trucks, they were full of things that could, turned into, like, highly destructive rockets, right?
Wheat flour,
right.
For bread.
Yeah.
So the Navy fired into the convoy and blasted a huge hole into the side of one of the trucks. Shockingly, no one died. I mean, it is by the skin of their teeth that none of the aid workers died from this attack.
And this was a convoy that, like all the other convoys, was like the Israeli government and military were alerted to it.
They
agreed to it. There was, like, a planned route that they were going to take.
Yep.
This is not, if it's an accident, it is an incredible accident that. Yeah. It in and of itself should be, like, seen as, if not a war crime, then, like, oh my god, then, like, there's something incredibly wrong in the chain of command of the Israeli military. I don't know, like, it's just gonna be like the most generous reading of this. It just seems like so obvious that even if you want to give them the biggest benefit of the fucking doubt, it's like, shouldn't this trigger some sort of introspection? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's like, obviously this is, like, you know, debating libs of TikTok, right? Like, it's like you don't get anywhere by asking probing questions, but it's just like, come on, man. I don't know.
But this, if it's a mistake, it sure is one they make a lot.
Yeah, it's a hell of a doozy of a mistake to keep making. Yeah. Is it, I mean, like, what, this now is, you know, it's like, now it's just all of a sudden a given that UNRWA, the UN organization, that aid organization for Palestine, is just, like, overrun by Hamas or something. Like, now that's just, like, a thing that everyone believes.
Yeah.
And
as a result, they've lost, like,
all fun-
I think yeah, nearly yeah. $1 billion
yeah.
in funding.
Yeah. And again, not a shred of evidence has been given for this.
No, just a random accusation that there were seven members that were involved in the October 7th attack. Yeah.
And even if there was, like, a, you know, convincing, like, airtight case of evidence provided, this is collective punishment.
Yeah.
Rid of the bad actors.
Yes. You don't stop the flow of critical things to people who are literally starving to death.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I don't know how to talk about this anymore.
Right.
Like,
there's nothing left to say.
Like, this is just so incredibly infuriating.
Yeah. It's just, like, so, they're doing it, like, in front of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are people with the temerity to say that you're, you know, don't believe your lying eyes about, like, the execution of like 2 million people.
Yeah,
like this is crazy.
And like any way you want to spin it, there, you know, people would be like, "Oh, like no, this is just like Netanyahu. You know, he's just like overrun with power, and he's
then
you know
kill him or something. You know, like, go get that guy. Go get him. Agreed. He's doing something really bad. Go get him."
but then you look down at like the border, and there are like you know regular running raves of people stopping convoys of aid packages yeah. coming in, and they're like doing it gleefully, like you know waving flags,
having
just cheering.
Raves
yeah. like having the people just
their national
on.
Culture the only part of their culture rave.
It's just I can't even
yeah
like it's just it's so absurdly disgusting to watch
yeah
And how publicly supported it is in that country, which is, you know, like...
And in this country.
Yeah, and yeah. in this country, of course.
And in
yeah.
Germany, and in...
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah recently it was pointed out that, you know, 1% of the German population is Jewish. That was higher at some point, but then something happened. right, and it's 1%, but they make up something like a third of all arrests this year for anti-Semitic speech.
Yep.
So Germany's rounding up Jews again for anti-Semitism reasons.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that
and charging
tracks.
Them Yikes. With anti-Semitism.
Yikes. That tracks.
Right? Like, real, like, first is tragedy, then is farce kind of
oh
hours
my gosh,
going
yeah.
on, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're accusing Jews, you're rounding up Jews and accusing them of anti-Semitism.
Man.
For the benefit of
Mark Julie didn't miss.
Yeah, yeah. For the benefit of an ethno-state.
Yeah, yeah. Which is cheering this on.
Yeah. That you set up because you didn't want to deal with the Jews.
Like, and the fact that you murdered millions of
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's just, that's so fucking much, man. That's so much.
All right, let's get to the story coming out of Alabama.
Goddamn.
IVF has kind of been outlawed.
Oops.
Yeah. This was the Alabama Supreme Court ruled last week that frozen embryos are children. So this came as a result of a court
what?
Case in which a couple who were seeking IVF treatment sued another patient of the clinic that they were at because the patient apparently somehow got their hands on like a dish of these frozen embryos and accidentally destroyed them. I believe it was accidental anyway.
Okay.
What?
And so they sued the couple for basically murdering their baby. And the judge was like, you know what? This is yeah. murder of a baby. And in fact, all of these are babies and you can't ever destroy any embryo. And if you don't know much about IVF, like
this judge apparently did,
you know, you make a lot of embryos because
yeah, you
they
bet
don't
I do.
All, because they don't all, they're not all viable. And if you were to implant each individual, so first of all, you can never destroy a non-viable embryo, which means you have to pay to store it in perpetuity.
What? Forever.
And it also means you can only do one at a time, which means it could take a couple years, if ever, to actually successfully be, you know, fertilized.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
It's so nuts.
This is so bizarre. I mean,
and IVF is also very invasive. Let's like put that out there.
Yeah.
For the woman, like with harvesting the eggs and implanting them is an incredibly painful, invasive procedure.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind while we also talk about how they're going to lengthen and complicate that painful process.
Well, there are now, I believe, three clinics that are just no longer providing IVF services because they are worried about the legal ramifications of it.
The anti-abortion movement in this country has run out of targets. This is like the Vietnam War where they're like lamenting that there were like no more targets
God.
Left to hit.
Yeah.
Oh God, or I guess dude. That was Korea maybe.
Yeah, but, North Korea.
Yeah, yeah, it was Korea. You know, they're just like they just run out of stuff, and they're like, embryos are babies also.
Yeah, next it'll be birth control, and then it'll be vasectomies, yeah. And then it'll just be, like, you know.
Literally putting you in jail for jerking off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no, like, more jerking, you know, off, like, not allowed.
Yeah. Sir, it looks like you did several genocides this past weekend.
Yeah. Into the sock.
Yeah, yeah. Babies, famous for being able to be frozen indefinitely
yeah,
and not killed.
Right? Yeah, right? If you can freeze it, it's not a baby.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what to make of this whole thing. Like, is this whole thing to, like, try and, like, make banning abortion, like, a centrist position, so that, like, Republicans and Democrats can both, because, you know, Biden and Trump are both like, what the fuck?
So the Alabama State Senate, which is surprisingly controlled by Republicans, is it has a bill that they're introducing to, like, go, like, no, IVF is cool. Like,
yeah, IVF is legal. Don't
IVF
worry,
is
guys.
Legal. IVF
yeah.
is legal. So, like, if a fucking Alabama state Republican,
yeah,
senator is trying to reverse course on a legal decision, you know that, like, shit's gone off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is fucking bonkers.
Also, like, why do we have these, like, ancient, like, wizards that have lifetime appointments to, like, make rulings on what is and isn't human?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is the point of this?
And what I to be a fly on the wall of, like, the incredibly racist country club where that judge went afterward, he's like walking, striding in, like, I just, you know, got another one over on the abortionists, and everyone, like, dude, and you're like, what? What did I do? What happened? Like, you made the
but this is
IVF illegal.
This is a perfectly natural outgrowth of any anti-abortion philosophy, right? Is yeah. that if you know, it is morally wrong to flush an embryo from your body, then it must also therefore follow that IVF is immoral.
Yeah.
Because there's no significant difference between the two.
Yeah. I mean, I don't fucking understand this at all. Yeah. Like, there's got to be, like, either this is, you know, this, you know, ridiculous institution, you know, the Supreme Court of whatever state or the fucking country, just, like, proving itself to be, like, completely not up to the task of, like, managing major legal and moral questions of, yeah. like, where we are technologically, or, like, I don't know, like, the idea that this might be a anti-abortionist, like, effort to try to, like, further center the idea of just, like, punishing women for having abortions by being like, oh, okay, well, that was too far, but, like, you know, like, the correct position is, what did Donald Trump say, like, you got to go after the mothers,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Or,
yeah, yeah, yeah. The 9x16 foot banner that says, in this house we believe in science, notwithstanding, that hangs outside this podcast studio, you know, like, I don't mean to sound like that, but also it's just, like, the fact that, like, people running this thing have no idea how fucking anything works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, they just don't understand, like, where the clitoris is. They don't know where a baby comes from. They can't stand the sight of their own penis because, like, it reminds them of, like, how limp they are in all other aspects of their life. Like, I don't know. Like, they're just, like, God, like, and they just, like, they're so powerful.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just, like, decide all of, they decide literally life and death, like, consequential decisions. And just, like, I just don't fucking get it. Like, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. And, like, the whole, like, natalist, like, you know, white supremacist, like, right wing, you know, move on abortion to try to, like, increase white birth rates because of, you know, their fear of being, you know, greatly replaced or whatever the fuck. Like, IVF is one of those technologies that is predominantly used, I imagine, by well-heeled, probably mostly white.
It's fucking expensive.
People.
So, yeah, I mean, bet so.
I imagine, like, at least half of, like, Elon Musk's brood, like, IVF babies, right? He's like, he doesn't know how to use his penis.
Like, that's like a full-time job trying to keep up with that dude's, like, birth rate.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, man. Like, do you or do you not want people to get pregnant? Like, you fucking freaks. Figure it out and get back to us. Like, I don't.
Are you guys ready for Wildflower?
Yeah. Oh my God, am I ready? Yeah.
Clackamas County exceeds rehousing goals with 65% drop in homelessness.
Whoa.
And do you guys want to know how they did it?
Was it like a technology that creates like 3D prints tiny homes with AI?
They just gave them houses.
Oh, shit. Oh,
okay. They just gave them houses.
That works?
Wow.
Yeah.
That works?
Yeah. So basically they have this, it's called Supportive Housing Services, and they have rehoused 314 people in just 6 months. It exceeded their goal of 120 households. So
you could build a house out of all the stacking up all the reports that show that just giving people a fucking house ends homelessness.
Yeah.
You know,
this one simple trick unhomed people into homed people.
Poor people need money. Unhomed people need homes. Like, it's just that easy.
Yeah.
Ah, man.
There's not really much else to say about it.
Well, yeah.
We don't need to say anything. Just up the fucking homes for homeless people. Yeah.
We got a bunch of empty homes, and we got a bunch of people who need homes.
I see a technical solution for a technical problem.
The housing crisis, such as it is, right, you know, is full of people who somehow think, like, people who, like, want to solve it ostensibly, just, like, think that there's just not enough homes, which is so bonkers.
They think that they don't deserve homes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really what it is. Let's be real. Yeah. That's how most people feel about the homeless.
And honestly, yes, that is absolutely true. And when people look at, like, the quote unquote housing crisis as it exists, the vast majority of people who are in, you know, public service are there to continue to line their pockets, the rentier class, and they're trying to, you know, be like, we need to build more homes.
Sure.
And most of those homes that they're trying to build, whether it's, you know, the city of Troy or everywhere else, are going to be homes made by developers for maximum profit, catering to the same top 5% of the housing market, thus increasing the cost of housing and increasing the crisis that allows them to then build more and more luxury housing by being like, well, we got to build more homes, right? You know, and it's just like, it is insane. And if there was a reason for having a state, I think that one of them ought to be that it would be there to facilitate the fulfillment of the needs of the population, which, if you have a ton of people who are too poor to afford housing in the current market, you build and provide them housing directly. Like, that would be a reasonable thing for a state to exist for.
Especially now as homelessness is on the rise, like really dramatically. You know, especially because of the cost of rent. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? So I got an email on Friday, because my university, like, will direct media inquiries to me on housing stuff now.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. The Altamont Enterprise, excellent name for a publication.
Yeah.
The Altamont Enterprise is a regional newspaper for, like, Albany, kind of rural area, Albany County. And they were asking, like, has anyone actually done any research on whether or not building more housing actually creates tax revenue that a city will to make, like, a city more solvent, because it seems like you also have to service those homes, and, like, that costs money.
Yeah, and there's usually, like, a pilot deal that gets carved out to help the developer.
I just, like, my hands are kind of like I'm rubbing my hands together, like, oh boy, do I have an answer for you? Yeah, so I'm gonna talk to them on Monday. I already sent them an email back, like, you know, describing that, like, what, not always. but he wants to talk more on Monday.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, I suspect the guy, the way that they wrote the question, it sounds like they're not going to like my answer.
Yeah. They're definitely looking for an affirmative there.
Yeah. The answer that they're looking for is no, everything should stay the same. And that's how you keep your city taxes low. which is just not going to be true. The answer, unfortunately, is like you have to build more density and have transit-oriented development. That's the only way cities like pencil out for like affordability. And it's just not going to like that answer, but I'm going to give it to him.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah. I appreciate you doing that service.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll see if it runs. Usually when they reporters get an answer they don't like, they just don't write the story. So, we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Iron Weeds. Hope you enjoyed it. I have a big announcement.
I am so excited for your big announcement.
March 1st, this coming Friday, is going to be the entire series that I've written for Reaction on the John Birch Society is going to be released on Patreon.
Fuck yeah.
So all four episodes are going to come out at the same time. Patreon.com/ironweeds for our $7 reactionary tier. You can get all of that. And then on my other patreon.com/reactionpodcast, you can also get it there for as little as a dollar. So yeah, I really am excited about the series. I hope you guys enjoy it. I think it turned out really good. The rest of the series will launch episode by episode weekly the week after the first. So that'll be the 7th, I believe, that next Friday. And then they'll come out every week after that.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. This is a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah. They're all good ones. But this one, this is a good one.
I think it's pretty good. Yeah. You know, the John Birch Society is a very interesting organization. It's sort of told through the story of one man, which is fascinating to do. You know,
John himself?
John Birch, kind of an obscure figure. He only takes up a
he's bit. Just the namesake.
And the other thing I'll say is that these episodes are a lot longer. These episodes are going to be like 40 minutes. So usually I was doing 20 minute episodes. Now these are going to be about 40 minutes. So
hell yeah.
Yeah. More bang for your buck.
That's awesome. Soon you're going to be doing Dan Carlin length episodes.
I would love to.
Yeah. 4.5 hours.
I know. If I had his reach, I would absolutely do long ass episodes like that.
So if you guys want long ass episodes, you have to
help extend that reach.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell your friends about the show. Yeah. Tell your friends about this show too.
Yeah. I one thing I have to plug is that my my book was featured on Philosophy Tube.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it came out for subscribers like 2 weeks ago, I think, but last Friday it came out on YouTube for everybody. So and it's generally the whole episode. I'll be honest, I didn't follow Philosophy Tube for a long time, but this is a good episode just generally about like cities and gentrification, urbanism. It's got it all.
And now are you hooked? Did you smash that subscribe button?
I did subscribe.
Hit the bell.
Yeah, I did.
All right. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter,
IronWeedsPod,
and on Instagram,
IronWeedsPod.
And you can, as always, send us an email if you'd like to at IronWeedsPod
@gmail.com.
Thanks so much. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace.